So as I mentioned, this is our spring lectureship, and our topic this spring, it comes from Philippians 1, verse 21, and the title is To Live is Christ. And if you remember that verse, it says, For to me to live is Christ. So that's our topic for this spring, and they're all lessons on Christian living, and we've covered a kind of a wide variety of topics this spring. And the topic that I've got today is called, For I Will Sing Praises to His Holy Name. Again, For I Will Sing Praises to His Holy Name. So what I want to do is I want to look at some scriptures, but I also want us to sing. So I'd encourage everybody to get your Bibles out. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures, and so I'm going to talk about those. And but we also want you to get your songbooks out. I've actually picked six different songs that we're going to sing at various points throughout the lecture this morning, and I've asked Chuck Wood to lead us. So a Bible in one hand, songbook in the other hand, and that's going to be our class this morning. What I want to talk about, again, is I will sing praises to His holy name. So let's look at two passages that we're familiar with, and let's see if we can dig deep into these passages and try to answer some questions that we might have. So Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. And again, if you've got a marker, you probably want to put your marker there because we're going to be coming back to that passage a good bit. So Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So put your marker right there. And now let's flip over to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And if you've got another marker, put one there too, because these are going to be the two passages we're looking at this morning. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verses 15 through 21. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So what I'd like to do this morning is take these two passages, and let's just look at some fundamental questions about this idea of singing praises to His holy name. The questions that I want to talk about are some pretty basic. Who does the singing? To whom are we singing? When do we sing? Why do we sing? What do we sing? And how do we sing? So that's kind of the topics that I want to talk about today. And so let's just start with that first one I talked about. Who sings praises to God? Well, if you look in Colossians, again, that's why I keep your marker there, because we're going to be going back and forth between that and Ephesians. Look in Colossians, and if you flip back a page, and you look at the very first part of the chapter 1 in verse 2, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. So to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. So this is written to the saints, okay, the brethren, the ones who are in Christ. And look at back at our passage in chapter 3, verse 12, where it says, those who have been chosen of God, holy, beloved. And in verse 15, it talks about called in one body. So the people that sing are the body of Christ, the ones who have been chosen of Christ. That is the Christians, the saints, the ones that have been set apart for service to God. We've talked about that word saint before, coming from the word sanctified, which means set apart. Holy, holy and separate. Why? For service to God. If you look at the passage in Ephesians, you're going to see the same thing. Okay? In the very beginning of chapter 1, Paul writes, "An apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints, the ones who are separated for service to God at Ephesus, who are faithful in Jesus Christ." And then you can look at the other verses and see that the ones that they're talking about are the ones that have obeyed the gospel. They are the saints. They're right before God. And they're commanded to sing. And those are the ones that are singing. So the short answer is, who sings? We sing. We as Christians, we as children of God, are the ones that sing. And I had a few examples I wanted to pick from the New Testament, just to illustrate a little bit. If you flip over to Matthew in the 26th chapter and look at verse 30, Matthew 26 and verse 30, we're going to see Jesus and the apostles sing. So Matthew 26 verse 30 says, "And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." And who is they? That's Jesus with the apostles. Okay? They had just celebrated the Passover. Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper. And now they sang a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. Another example, which I think is a great example, in the book of Acts, in the 16th chapter, in verse 25, we see Paul and Silas, and what's happening, they've been arrested, and they're in jail. Paul and Silas arrested, they're in jail, but look at what they're doing in Acts 16, verse 25. It says, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." There's several things in this verse I want you to notice. First of all, look at the comparison there between their praying and singing hymns. And the impression that I get from that isn't that they, well, okay, we're gonna pray, okay, now we're done praying, and now we're gonna go over here and we're gonna sing hymns. I don't think it was like that. I think they were kind of doing both all night long. Okay? They were praying, they were singing, and look what they were doing, singing hymns of praise. Now they're in prison, they're chained up. We know that story. We said they're in prison, they're chained up, but they're singing hymns of praise. They're singing hymns of praise to God, okay, in that situation. So at this point, I'd like to ask Chuck to come up and let's sing number 660. On all these songs, just to kind of save time, we're going to sing just one verse. So we're going to sing number 660. One verse. continuing to think about this question about who sings, we can look at passages all the way back in the Old Testament, passages in Revelation. I picked a couple more that I wanted to look at just because I think that they're good examples. Look in look in Exodus chapter 15 at the first couple of verses. So Exodus chapter 15, the first couple of verses. And it says, "Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang the song to the Lord and said, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea.'" So look at that. Moses and the sons of Israel. This wasn't Moses doing some kind of solo. This was Moses and the sons of Israel singing together, sang the song to the Lord. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is exalted." And then look at Psalm 108. And there's lots and lots of examples in Psalms that we could look at. But I picked just a couple that we're going to look at today. This one is Psalms 108, verse 3. Psalm 108, verse 3 says, "I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to thee among the nations." I will sing praises to thee among the nations. And then kind of to look at a couple of other passages in Revelation. You can look at Revelation 5 and verses 8 and 9. And this is the scene around the throne of God. So Revelation 5, 8, and 9, "When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lord, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy art thou to take the book, to break its seals, for thou wast slain, didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation.'" They sang a new song. And then we see the same idea over a few pages in Revelation, the 14th chapter, the first three verses. And here we have a much larger group, the 144,000, symbolic of those who were in heaven, the saved, the consecrated. And it says, "I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, with him 144,000 having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth." They sang a new song. So in all of these examples, we see that the people that are singing are the children of God. They come together, they sing, praises to God. So now let's look at the second question. Okay, so to whom are we singing? Okay, well, if we go back to our passage in Ephesians, all right, we look at our passage in Ephesians and we look in verse 19. So again, this is Ephesians 5, and we're looking at verse 19, and look at the very end of the verse. It says, "Making melody with your heart to the Lord." And if you'll notice in Colossians, in our very same passage, in verse 16, it says the same thing. At the end of this verse, "Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So from these two passages, I don't think there's any question that when we sing praises, we're singing these praises to God. You can go back to that passage we looked at a second ago in Acts, in the 16th chapter, in verse 25, with Paul and Silas in prison. Look at what it says there. They were praying, they were singing hymns of praise. Who were they singing hymns of praise to? To God. They were singing hymns of praise to God. So in all three of those examples, there, it clearly says that we, when we sing, we are singing to God. One more passage to answer this, to kind of answer this question of who are we singing to, is in Psalms. And again, we could probably spend just all day going through the Psalms for these kind of passages, but this is one I think that is worth taking a close look at. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. So Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. It says, O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry ground. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. I mean, look at that passage and all the different ways that the writer talked about God. To the Lord, to the rock of our salvation, to His presence, a great God, a great King above all gods. All of these expressions of praise and worship, because we're singing to God. Now, part of this point is we need to think about this, okay? We're singing, and you know, sometimes we can sing songs that we like and songs that sound good, and you know, that's a good song and I like singing that song and everything. But we just need to remember that we're singing to God. We're singing to worship God. These are praises to God. This is, they, as the writer says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. That's the God that we're singing to. And so we don't need to necessarily just sing a song because it's a good song, because we like it, because it sounds good, because we've been singing it a long time. We need to think about it in terms of we're singing this to God. So at this point, Chuck, if you would, let's sing one verse of song number 2. So you see, when we're singing to God. And we need to remember that. We need to remember God. We need to remember who God is. That God is worthy. God, as we said here, is a great God, a great King above all gods. And I tell you, if we remember that we're singing to God, and we're singing in spirit, we're singing in truth, we're not going to have a problem doing what the passages said about teaching and admonishing one another, because we're going to do that. If we're singing to God, we won't have any problem teaching and admonishing one another. So let's look at the next question that I want to talk about is, when do the righteous sing? And again, let's go back to our passages in Colossians and Ephesians, and let's look at a few things here. So let's start with Colossians, third chapter, and let's look at verse 16. And again, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing thankfulness in your hearts to God. He's talking about one another. Okay, you notice that right there in the middle, he's kind of, Mike could go too fast, you kind of skip over that, but it says wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, one another. The idea is that when we come together, we are teaching and admonishing one another. We're singing to God together to one another. Like the passage we looked at in Exodus, which we'll look at again in a second, but it was Moses and the children of God. Again, Moses wasn't doing a solo. It was everybody when they came together in the assembly. And if you look at Ephesians, the fifth chapter, it says the same thing. So back to our passage in Ephesians 5, and verse 19 says the same thing, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So again, one another, when we come together as part of the assembly, as the congregation. Another passage in Psalms that I want to take a look at, in Psalms, the 34th chapter, and this is verse 3, Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Okay, so this is a psalm from David, and he's telling everybody, let us magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Let us come together. Let us worship the Lord. Let us sing these songs together. Okay? And again, in our passage in Exodus that I was talking about, Exodus 15:1, you see the assemblies together, Moses and all of the sons of Israel. They are there to praise God, because God had just opened the Red Sea. They had gone through the Red Sea on dry land. God had destroyed the Egyptians. They were on the other side, and they stopped to worship God. And as Moses and all of the sons of Israel together in a great assembly, and they sing to the Lord and praise God and thank Him for what He did. A couple of other passages in the New Testament. If you look in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, this passage talks about the assembly. And if you look at Ephesians 10, 24 and 25, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So this isn't directly talking about singing, but it's talking about the assembly. But look at some of the same words that they use. But encouraging one another, the same idea before, admonishing, teaching, encouraging one another. In Colossians and Ephesians it says, we're doing that with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, encouraging one another. Here it says, you're assembling together, encouraging one another. The same kind of idea, the assembly. I mean, that's where we get together and sing. I mean, if you think about all of the things that we do in the assembly, we sing, we pray, we have the Lord's Supper, we have the offering, and we preach, we teach, we study. All of these things are what we do as the assembly. And I cannot see that we could come together as an assembly and try to worship God without praying. We couldn't come and worship God without studying His Word. We couldn't come together on the first day of the week without coming together around the Lord's Supper any more than we could come together as an assembly and not sing. That's just something that we have been commanded to do. It's something we need to do. It's something that's part of the assembly. It's something that we do as the assembly as part of our worship to God. One other passage in Matthew, the 18th chapter. So Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Now, the interesting thing about that is, to me, is there the second part that says, there I am in their midst. So this assembly, God is here in our midst. Jesus is speaking these words. He says, He is here. His Spirit is here in our midst. When we come together, God is here with us. In our midst. So let's sing number 22. He is in our midst. So again, as we think about this and we think about these assemblies, we don't ever want to find ourselves saying, well, we're going to get together and we're going to have this Bible study, which is great. Or we're going to have this preaching. Or we're going to have this other thing. Okay? When we come together as an assembly, all these things are part of it. I mean, would we ever come together and not pray? Would we ever come together and not study? So then, why would anybody come together and not sing? It's just part of what we do as the assembly. And we see all of these examples. The assembly getting together. We pray. We read the Bible. We teach. We preach. We sing. We do all of these things as part of our assembly. So let's just keep going. Look at the next question that I wanted to look at. Is that why do we sing? Why do the children of God sing? Well, if you go back to our passages in Ephesians and Colossians, you'll see where it says, speaking, singing, teaching, admonishing, those words that are there. And so I think the first thing you can look at is, well, we've been commanded to sing. These passages are telling us what to do, what we need to do. But they are worded in the form of a commandment. I don't think that's an option there about speaking, singing, teaching, admonishing. Those kind of words are not really optional. They're telling us what we need to do. So, again, you look at, let's say, Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay, that's a commandment. That's what we're supposed to do. All right, likewise in Colossians 3 in the 16th verse, you know, it says the same thing. Okay, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So it's telling us what we need to do. But I think there's a lot more to it than just that commandment that we have there. Okay, let's look at a couple of other passages and see if we can explore this a little bit deeper. Let's look at Hebrews, the 13th chapter, Hebrews 13, all right? And we'll look at verse 15. So Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. You know, I got to tell you, I really like that verse, because look at the way it says that. The fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. But look at everything that's in this verse, in just a few short phrases. The first part, through him then, how are we doing this? We're doing this through God, through Christ, by the authority of Christ, in the name of Christ. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. When you look at that word sacrifice of praise, I got to tell you, I studied that a lot, and I don't think I'm anywhere close to really understanding the depth of that word sacrifice. And particularly in the context of sacrifice of praise to God. But I will tell you that one of the ways to think about that is to think about it in terms of an offering. So a sacrifice of praise, an offering of praise to God is one way to think about it. I don't think that comes anywhere close to the depth of what the word sacrifice means. But I think that's a good place to start. So when you think about that sacrifice, and there's several things that came to mind. And if you remember, Bob preached a lesson not that long ago about David. And when David came to the threshing floor and he wanted to buy the threshing floor, and what did David say? He said, I'm not going to offer God sacrifices that cost me nothing. Okay? That's the same kind of thing that we're talking about here. That's the same word. And I think that's being used in the same context. Okay? So this is a sacrifice of praise to God. So it's not merely we're commanded to teach, admonishing, but this is a sacrifice. This is part of our service, is another word. Sacrifice, service, offering. This is part of our service to God. This sacrifice of praise to God. And again, the last part of this, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. So it's fruit. Think about that. Again, that idea of an offering, that fruit. Fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. Let's keep that thought going and jump over and look at 1 Peter, the second chapter, and verse 5. And we're going to see this, a similar thought. So 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. And there's so much here, we could spend the rest of the lesson just on these few verses here. But look at, let's just look at verse 5. And you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the first thing to look at is that holy priesthood. Peter talks more about that in a few verses down here, like in verse 9, where he says, chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation. We know what he's talking about. People that have been sanctified, saints, people have been set apart, holy, for service to God. A holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. Okay? So as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. All right? But why? Well, it says it answers that. That little word says to is telling you why, is giving you the because. Well, why are we this holy priesthood? Why are we being built up as a spiritual house? Why are we living stones? Why? to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices. And again, I think that idea is a very rich idea that would take us a long time to explore. But it's the idea of service, it's the idea of offering, it's the idea of sacrifice, like we've been talking about. It's these kinds of things that are part of our service. And singing, praising God, is just part of our spiritual sacrifice to God through Jesus Christ. Let's sing one verse of number 21. The next question that I want to talk about is, what do we sing? Again, you look at Ephesians and Colossians, the passage we're looking at, and it talks about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay? Well, there's several things that we could talk about there. And one thing we could do is we could try to talk about, well, what is the difference between psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? And a lot of people have tried to make a lot of big deals out of what those three words mean. And, you know, I don't think we need to get into that, okay? Because number one, I'm not sure that it necessarily matters what exactly the difference is between a psalm, a hymn, and a spiritual song, because we've answered all these other questions. We know who we're singing to. We're singing to God. We know who's singing. We know why we're singing. Okay, what are we going to sing? We're going to sing these kinds of songs. And I'm not sure getting into, well, this song is a hymn, but this song is a psalm, and this one, I'm not sure that matters. But I do want to talk about, well, what are we singing, okay? Well, first and foremost, you know, we're praising God. And all the songs that we've sung so far is that we're praising God, okay? And you saw there in Acts, okay, back to our passage in Acts, when they were in prison, okay, Acts 16:25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise. Okay, and I don't think in this case that it necessarily matters that it says hymns of praise or spiritual songs of praise or psalms of praise. They were singing and they were praising God. And that was first and foremost. And you can say, well, that's a pretty difficult situation to be in, being in prison. But they were praising God. So when we sing, what are we gonna? We're gonna praise God. I think first and foremost, our songs are to praise God. Okay, but that's not the only thing we sing, though. Okay, oftentimes before the Lord's Supper, we'll have the person who's leading singing will say, let's sing this song to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. Okay, that song then, normally the one that's picked, isn't necessarily a song of praise. It's more a song about Jesus Christ. But that fits exactly with what we're talking about. Because what did Paul say? He says, I preach Christ crucified. And what are we talking about? Speaking to one another, admonishing one another, teaching one another. What are we going to be teaching? What are we going to be preaching? If we're singing about something, we're either praising God or we're singing about Jesus Christ. So when we have a song before the Lord's Supper, we're singing about Jesus Christ. We're essentially doing what Paul said when he said, I preach Christ crucified. I sing Christ crucified. I'm going to sing about Jesus. So we're going to sing praises to God. We're going to sing about Jesus Christ. Those are the things that we're going to sing about. Whether they're psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs, I don't think it matters. That's what we're singing about. We're singing praises to God, and we're singing about Jesus. Let's sing number 149, one verse of number 149. I will sing the wondrous story. I will sing the wondrous story. So we're singing praises to God. We're singing songs about Jesus Christ. That's what we're singing about. So one last section to wrap everything up. The last question I want to ask is, how do we sing? And the first place I want to look to is 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. And there's a couple of interesting things I want to look at here in this passage. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. What is the outcome then? I shall pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the Spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. So think about that. The comparison there between praying and singing. We could probably do an entire lesson about that right there. But think about that. But look at what he says. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the mind. Other translations talk about I will sing with the understanding. Okay, I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Okay, we're going to look at this passage in just a second in John, but the same idea in spirit and in truth. Okay, praying and singing. Back in our passage in Colossians, in the third chapter of Colossians, in verse 16, look at what it says there that tells us exactly how we need to be singing in verse 16. Okay, first of all, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So before you even sing, make sure that the word of Christ richly, richly, bountifully dwells within you. And then with all wisdom, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Wisdom, thankfulness, word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's how we need to be singing. And look at verse 17, the end of verse 17, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Ephesians says the same thing. Ephesians 5 and 19. Look at the end of this verse. Making melody with your heart to the Lord. You know, I think we need to say it doesn't really matter how well you sing or not sing. As far as the quality of your singing, it's how you're singing. With thankfulness, wisdom, with your heart, making melody in your heart. You know, a couple other passages I just wanted to mention real quick. Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So I can sing great songs and be a great singer, but if I don't have love, become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. James 5 and verse 13. Says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. And then our last verse, John 4 and 23, in spirit and in truth, a very familiar verse that we all know. So when we sing, sing in spirit, sing in truth. Thankfulness in our hearts, making melody in our hearts. Let's sing one verse of number 54. And our time will be out this morning.
Like a shepherd, Jesus looked on his children.